The terror attacks in Brussels last week killed at least 38 people, including the attackers. That's according to the Belgian health ministry. More than 300 were wounded. Many people are asking how this could have happened, since police presence in the Belgian capital had been high since the Paris attacks in November. And the chief suspect in those attacks, Salah Abdeslam, was arrested in the Brussels neighborhood of Molenbeek. Neighborhoods like Molenbeek have been seen as fertile recruiting grounds for radical Islamist groups. In part, many experts say, because Muslim communities haven't integrated into the mainstream European society. NPR's Melissa Block has been reporting in Molenbeek, which has come to be known as the jihadi capital of Europe.
It's just a quick walk from the center of Brussels, with its gilded towers and shops selling fine chocolates and lace, a walk across a canal that used to be the industrial heart of the city, and into a densely populated neighborhood lined with halal butchers and shops selling headscarves, hijabs. Molenbeek is a sprawling district, home to a large Muslim population, mostly of Moroccan descent. It was also home to a number of the terrorists responsible for last week's suicide bombings in Brussels and the November attacks in Paris. And this is where I've come to find an entrepreneur named Ibrahim Wasari.
I grew up in this house. It's the house of my father, so it's my area here, yeah.
Wasari is 37, a second-generation Belgian, his parents from Morocco. He grew up next to the Molenbeek City Hall, not far from where two of the Paris attackers also lived.
People think it's jihadi land here, you know? But it's really not like that. It's just some stupid people without a perspective for the future.
And that future can look bleak indeed. Parts of Molenbeek have a 50% unemployment rate. The Muslim community here is marginalized in ways large and small. Ibrahim Wasari takes me back to the canal, a symbolic psychological border between two divided communities. He recalls crossing this canal to go to the Brussels city center for the first time on his own when he was 16. And for the first time, he felt discrimination, felt like an outsider in his own country. In a cafe, someone told him, "You're not Belgian."
It's like we are not really a Belgian guy, you know? It's a little bit like schizophrenia, because in my mind, I feel like Belgian guy. The other guy, he tell me, "No, you are not." So what I am?
Ibrahim says his first name alone is an instant signal of identity. It even kept him from renting an apartment.
I give my name Ibrahim. The guy, he tell me no. It's not possible because we don't want Muslim.
ISIS recruiters have had an easy time finding foot soldiers in Molenbeek to join the fight. The recruiters feed on a population with few prospects for their future. Both Wasari and his colleague, Morad Shahboun, know of young men from Molenbeek who have gone to fight in Syria. Shahboun tells me young professionals like him hope they can turn the Molenbeek narrative around.
My feeling is that we are 99% the same, and though we think that our 1% different will lead us to kill people, it's not the case. And definitely we try to change the perception on this.
I go to see Molenbeek's mayor, Françoise Skepmaas, in her elegant chandeliered office.
When you hear Molenbeek described as a jihadi capital, how does that strike you?
It's false.
Absolument.
Absolutely false.
Oui, absolument faux.
But Skepmaas does rattle off the names of the known terrorists from this neighborhood: Abdeslam, Abaoud, Abrini. A web, she says, of people who knew each other from childhood, became delinquents, were radicalized, or as she puts it, contaminated together.
C'est le chemin, voyous, truands, radicaux. Terrorisme.
That's the path, she says. Thugs, gangsters, radicals, terrorism. Last fall, a month before the Paris terrorist attacks, Belgium's federal office that coordinates threat analysis sent Skepmaas a list of 80 residents of Molenbeek suspected to be Islamic militants. Local police did an investigation, and I ask her, what happened then?
We transmitted that information to the federal police.
Mm-hmm. And then?
That's up to the federal police to take care of. Everyone has their role. Everyone has their responsibility.
And that illustrates a problem that many here are furious about. Dots that weren't connected before last Tuesday's attacks. Siloed intelligence information. A fractured government divided into many parts that simply don't communicate with each other. Melissa Block, NPR News, Brussels.